What's the gospel? Put it in a sentence. The gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for our sins, rose again, eternally triumphant over all his enemies, so that there is now no condemnation for those who believe, but only everlasting joy. That's the gospel.
And welcome back to The Pulse. In case you're not too sure what this is where we aim to tackle pulse-raising questions regarding the Christian faith. My name is Toya Akinoso. I'm your host, and I am joined by Mike Omeni. And today's question, which we're going to aim to unpack, is should Christians use dating apps? As a single man myself, actually, when this goes out, you might not be single if everything but by faith. Mike, should Christians use dating apps?
Hey, Toye. Thanks for having me back on here. Of course, you had no choice.
Who would have thought?
Should they use dating apps? Well, it depends how. I'm currently working on an article about this topic of Christians and dating apps. I've been asked multiple times before, and it's something I didn't want to just kind of give an instinctive answer to. I wanted to kind of really do some research, find out what they're like, what they are. And that article should be either out or will be coming out soon by the time this goes out. The question, the answer rather, I seem to be arriving at now, and I think where the Bible points, the only sensible thing I could say now is, well, it depends how. It depends how they are using such dating apps. There are certainly dating apps out there that Christians should avoid. Any dating app that promotes sensuality and it's all about hooking up or finding someone to sleep with is definitely something Christians should avoid. Why? Because we know that's not God's plan for us, that we should sleep with anybody or that we should judge people on what they look like and just focus on the outer man or just what people kind of give us on display. So we know that for a fact, and as such, a dating app is just another domain where that may happen. What we see on the earth may happen already. So certainly there are apps out there that Christians should avoid, should not be a part of. These are apps that reduce people down, you know, to just a snapshot they have of who they are. You know, sorry, they have of their face, or dating apps that encourages people to kind of lie about who they are and lie about their accomplishments. Things like that we should definitely reject and have no business using. However, even with the dating apps that we do want to use, I think there are some things we can think about that will help us kind of build best practices. One is, when we consider scripture, when it comes to relationships or getting to know people, what's very important is that you have two people who are willing to be very honest, transparent, and vulnerable with each other. What I think you get online is it's quite hard to achieve all those three things within the delicate balance. If you're vulnerable with someone on Tinder, chances are they're going to swipe left. If you tell someone, you know, I'm a bag of inconsistencies, people go, nope, not interested. If you're too honest with who you are, folks may say you're too aggressive, and for that reason, they may not be interested in you as well. The key thing here is to consider what scripture says about how we should search for suitable partners that we want to marry. Because remember, relationships, are, especially romantic ones, are great in so much as they lead to a God-glorifying marriage. God, throughout scripture, certainly does not want you hooking up with all sorts of people or being emotionally irresponsible with people. That's not the call of scripture. When we take a look at something like 1 Timothy 2:9, for instance, it says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly garments. What's that doing? What that scripture is doing is calling us back from what culture pretty much celebrates, and that's how people look, what they've got on, the kind of show and display of affluence or of wealth. And any social media app that reduces people down to a picture, which is typically what you get on social media, is something to be very, very kind of wary of. I don't think Christians should run into such a domain where you can't really see people and they're separated from you by virtue of being online. Growing up, I remember hearing the phrase that distance creates distortion, and this could be no more true when you consider dating apps, where you don't really know the people. They are online and they are selecting their best bits to show you. That's not a very healthy way to start a relationship. The second thing, and I think why 1 Peter goes a bit further than 1 Timothy 2, is because 1 Peter not only tells us what we should avoid, but tells us what we should seek. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, your adornment must not be merely external. Again, braiding of hair, wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. It says, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with that imperishable quality of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The point there is, what we should search for when we're looking for suitable partners isn't so much what they look like, a still shot of them online, but should be this more precious, gentle spirit, which you kind of have to wade through all the different images to get to that. So in so much as a Christian dating app allows you access to such a kind of pursuit, it should be used and it can be used, but where it doesn't do that, it almost certainly should be rejected. Dating is complicated. It's something you have to commit to before you even start. Are you committed to finding a partner, or are you looking to mess around? You have to be very clear about that. So because it's complicated, because it's oftentimes messy and requires a large degree of honesty, transparency, and confidence, it's very hard to capture that online. And that's why I say, 9 out of 10 times, it probably isn't something Christians ought to consume their time doing. However, I'm not naive to the fact that there are some dating apps that are different. I'm reminded of Match.com, which is slightly different, where folks post a much more kind of longer, illustrious profile about who they are. There's other dating apps where, guardians can be involved in it, and it's a bit more kind of cordial. You meet up and you have a drink and you maybe explore activities together. These are more kind of gentle dating apps that give you a chance to explore and find out more about somebody. And not just apps, that reduce people, like I said, to one picture where you decide you want to meet up or not. Almost certainly, that's a breeding ground, typically for immorality. So the advice here is, what depends how you are using these dating apps, and it depends what dating apps you are talking about. But generally, to give one answer wouldn't satisfy the question. I think the questioner here is interested in, well, will this thing help me find God-glorifying marriage? Well, almost certainly not alone. I mean, the idea that you can meet someone online and get married to them straight up. Well, no, you've got to step offline, and get to know them. And let's be quite frank, your relationship won't be built online. So why would you want it to stay there? It's got to be offline too. You've got to get to know them. You've got to look for this gentle, quiet spirit, which is precious in God's eye, and not just solely what they look like. That's the answer I would give the questioner.
Thank you for that answer, Mike. It was great. It was very detailed as well, and very concise. And I'm sure the person who asked the question would benefit much from that. But as always, if you have any questions you'd like us to unpack, to look at, to aim to answer, please don't hesitate to contact us at hello@ourgodgivenmission.com. And we'll see you next week.